Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, February 25th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
global equities gain as President Trump extends the trade truce with China.
China's been terrific. We want to make a deal that's great for both countries.
Still, caution remains on both sides of the aisle.
Meanwhile, Theresa May postpones a final vote on Brexit.
And economists see a U.S. recession coming by 2021.
President Trump leaves today for his summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, plus a top Democrat vows to sue to make the Mueller report public. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashtower in sports. The Knicks beat the Spurs at the Garden, their first win at MSG since December 1st. Rangers lost in overtime in Washington.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers, rated number one best online broker 2018 and a top online broker for the eighth consecutive year by Barron's. Visit ibkr.com/yib to learn more.
Stocks around the world are gaining amid signs of progress on U.S.-China trade talks. It's 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 12.5 points, Dow futures up 156, and NASDAQ futures up 44. The DAX in Germany is up 0.4%, so is the CAC in Paris, and the FTSE 100 is up 0.25%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.5%, so did the Hang Seng in Hong Kong. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 2.66%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.50%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 12 cents to $57.37 a barrel. COMEX gold little change down 50 cents to $13.32.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.13.64. The yen, 110.74. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with President Trump postponing the date to boost tariffs on Chinese goods. The move comes as he cites substantial progress in trade talks that wrapped up yesterday.
I tell you that whole relationship has been outstanding. We put ourselves into a position of strength for the first time in about 35 years, or probably a lot more than that. But China has been terrific. We want to make a deal that's great for both countries.
If further headway is made in negotiations, the president says he and Chinese leader Xi Jinping will meet at his Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida to conclude an agreement.
And that's leading to optimism about a deal, but there's also caution, including some from top U.S. trade negotiator Robert Lighthizer. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie reports from Beijing.
USTR Lighthizer over the weekend said that there were still major hurdles between the two sides. And of course, our reporting suggesting that one of those hurdles was a disagreement around the enforcement of any deal on the yuan. Of course, the U.S. have been pushing the Chinese to say that they will keep the yuan stable because the U.S. are concerned that should they devalue it, it would mitigate the impact of tariffs. And apparently the enforcement mechanism, there are still details that need to be ironed out. And that has remained an area that the two sides need to close the gap.
There's also caution coming from China, with the official Xinhua news agency publishing a commentary saying talks may face new uncertainties and that trade frictions are, quote, long-term, complicated and arduous.
Well, still, stocks in Asia or in China surged on the news, with the CSI 300 entering bull market territory. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The index of large cap stocks listed in mainland China surged by almost 6%, posting its biggest one-day advance since August 2015. The gauge joins the small-cap Chinex Index and the Shanghai Composite in bull market territory. They've rallied more than 20% from their January 3 lows. It wasn't just trade optimism that boosted markets. Chinese brokerages surged after President Xi indicated China will deepen reform in the finance sector and further open up the industry. It was a sixth session of gains for the MSCI Asia-Pacific Index, with every major equity market closing higher, keeping that index at October levels. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Turning to Europe now, it's all about Brexit this morning, with UK Prime Minister Theresa May raising the stakes in a battle with members of her own cabinet. Bloomberg's Jessica Schenkelman reports from London.
Theresa May pushed back the deadline for Parliament to vote on her Brexit deal to 12th of March. It's a gamble she hopes will buy her more time for negotiations, but also risks inflaming the revolt against her plan. The Prime Minister confirmed she won't bring a new divorce deal back to the House of Commons for a final vote this week. Instead, she's asking already sceptical members of Parliament to give her more time to renegotiate and then vote just 17 days before the UK is set to leave the bloc, with or without a deal. In London, Jessica Shankelman, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jessica, thanks. In Italy, bonds are rallying this morning after Fitch Ratings kept the country's credit rating unchanged, easing fears Italy would be downgraded to junk. Still, the agency warns a high level of government debt poses risks.
Turning to corporate news now, we have a deal in the drug industry. Roche Holding is buying Philadelphia-based Spark Therapeutics for $4.8 billion. It's an acquisition that could transform Roche into a leader in gene therapy. And also this deal, crossing the Bloomberg, Barrick Gold announcing that it has made a proposal to the Newmont Mining Corporation board to merge with Newmont in an all-share transaction.
We got earnings from Berkshire Hathaway over the weekend, plus commentary from Warren Buffett in the chairman's annual letter. Bloomberg's Susanna Palmer reports.
Berkshire's operating earnings rose 71% from the prior year. The company also broke with tradition, buying back $1.3 billion in stock last year. Berkshire is currently sitting on $112 billion in cash, and while Buffett wants to spend that on a big acquisition, he doesn't see it happening soon. Buffett also makes it clear he wants Berkshire to remain one company when he's gone, saying the whole is considerably greater than the sum of the parts. Susanna Palmer, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Susanna, thank you. When it comes to the U.S. economy, most economists now see a recession coming in less than 2 years. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the details. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Karen. A National Association for Business Economic Survey of Economists shows 10% see a recession beginning this year. 42% project one next year, while 25% expect a contraction starting in 2021. NABE members were divided on the impact of the Fed's balance sheet normalization process. Asked about the impact of the tightening on short-term funding rates, a fifth saw no impact. A fifth said it would raise rates by 25 basis points, and a fifth said they would rise 50 basis points or more. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, this could be a busy week for economic news. Tomorrow, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell begins 2 days of congressional testimony. On Thursday, we get a read on fourth quarter GDP. And Friday, it's manufacturing PMI and ISM manufacturing figures. This is Bloomberg. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. Time to get the latest world and national news. For that, we turn to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Trump leaves for Vietnam today for his 2-day summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. The president spoke at a White House formal dinner for the National Governors Association winter meeting.
I'm not pushing for speed, but we're not removing the sanctions. And we're going to have, I think, a very interesting 2.5 days.
Bloomberg's Peter Pei has more from Seoul.
North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un is taking the train from his capital city of Pyongyang to Hanoi, Vietnam, an epic journey that is expected to take nearly 3 days and have him arrive a day ahead of the summit with President Donald Trump later this week. The first time they met in Singapore last June, Trump and Kim agreed to general terms on disarming North Korea of nuclear weapons, but little progress has been made since. In Seoul, Peter Pei, Bloomberg Daybreak.
House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff vowed to subpoena Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation report and sue President Donald Trump's administration for the underlying evidence, if necessary, to make it public. Schiff on ABC's This Week.
Absolutely. We are going to get to the bottom of this. We are going to share this information with the public. And if the president is serious about all of his claims of exoneration, then he should welcome the publication of this report.
ABC's This Week can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. Air travel could be disrupted today in the Northeast from high winds. Gusts of 50 to 60 miles an hour are blowing through New York. New York City is holding a special election tomorrow for voters so they can choose the next public advocate. The office was left vacant after Letitia James resigned to take the office of state attorney general. Green Book, a movie about race relations in the South in the 1960s, was crowned Best Picture at the Oscars last night. Olivia Colman beat Glenn Close for Best Actress.
To be in this category with these extraordinary women and Glenn Close, you've been my idol for so long, and this is not how I wanted it to be, and I think you're amazing. I love you very much.
Rami Malek won Best Actor for his role as rocker Freddie Mercury in Bohemian Rhapsody. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the Knicks with their first win at the Garden since December 1st. They had lost 18 in a row at MSG, a club record. They were nearing the NBA record, but they went up by 23 on San Antonio. They stunned the Spurs, 130-118. Young players led the way. Damian Dotson, 27 points. He hit 8 three-pointers. Dennis Smith Jr. with 19 and 13 assists for Mitchell Robinson, 15 points, 14 rebounds, 5 block shots. A home win for Coach David Fizdale.
We didn't talk about it in the locker room. None of it. We just, you know, like I said, every night, for whatever reason, and that's why I really like this group of guys, they get over it fast and they get back to work. They get over it, they get back to work. And at some point, you know, the basketball guys will look out for you when you're doing that.
Knicks super fan Spike Lee, just after winning the Academy Award, was told about the Knicks win and responded, "But I thought we were trying to tank." Rangers, a matinee in Washington. Chris Kreider scored 21 seconds in, and Jimmy Vesey 21 seconds into the third period. Brady Shea scored with 31 seconds left in the third to tie the game. But Evgeny Kuznetsov poked one in with 40 seconds left in overtime. Caps over the Blue Shirts 6-5. College hoops, Rutgers beat Minnesota 68-64. Manhattan lost to Fairfield. Iona got 30 points from Ricky McGill in a win over Canisius. All offseason, the baseball world has waited to see where Freed and Bryce Harper was headed. Looks like the Phillies. The deal could be complete by tomorrow. Spring training, Yankees beat the Rays 8-5. A long 475-foot home run for Luke Voit. Jacob DeGrom pitched an inning, gave up a run. Mets lost to the Astros 10-1. With a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
And, John, we have IPO news to report from a popular home cycling company. Exercise startup Peloton has chosen Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase to lead its initial public offering. Bloomberg News has learned the offering could value the company at more than $8 billion. Peloton sells exercise bikes and treadmills with tablets attached that stream live fitness classes. S&P futures 13 points higher right now. Dow futures up 162 points. NASDAQ futures up nearly 45. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's coming up on 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and this update's brought to you by SEI. With a 50-year history of innovation, SEI's outsourced solutions help achieve lasting success for investment managers, asset owners, private banks, and independent advisors. Learn more at SEIC.com. And again, Barrick Gold made a hostile bid for Newmont Mining in a move to create the world's largest gold producer. And S&P futures are higher this morning, up 13 points. Dow futures up 162. NASDAQ futures up 43. The DAX in Germany's up 0.4%. And the 10-year Treasury down 6/32, the yield 2.67%. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump leaves for Hanoi today for his second summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff says his committee will not allow the public to remain in the dark about Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report. The Democrat from California says he will sue if necessary to get the report. Green Book won for Best Picture at last night's Oscars. In the NBA, the Knicks snap an 18-game home losing streak to beat the Spurs. In the NHL, the Rangers lost in overtime against the Capitals. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 6:19 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning, I'm John Tucker. It's time now to get you set up for the trading day in the week ahead. And joining us here in New York this morning, Joe Weisenthal, head of the America's News Desk for Bloomberg News. In London, we're joined by news director David Merritt. And in Beijing, we're pleased to have managing editor Emma O'Brien. Joe, you're in the studio with me. Let's start with you. President Trump extending the tariff truce. No tariffs just yet. No deal just yet either. Good or bad news?
Well, I think this is basically what the market was expecting. I think that if you had asked market participants in recent weeks what they were looking for, they said some sort of can kicking, some sort of deal that doesn't necessarily address the thorniest issues related to Chinese industrial policy. So I'd say this is enough. Interestingly, we are getting a very nice market reaction. So even though I would say this is fairly close to what participants probably had been expecting for a while, the fact that it's here, the fact that the tariffs are officially delayed is providing some relief.
Yeah, the thorny issues will just wait. Emma, what's the reaction there to the deadline extension?
Yeah, well, the markets here in China loved it as well. The Shanghai Composite Index surging more than 5% and really bedding down a bull market for Chinese stocks, which a couple of months ago you probably couldn't have imagined. China itself, it's taking it. The state media saying that there'd been substantial progress in the talks, but a little bit more muted later on. An editorial in Xinhua, that's the mouthpiece of the government, published later in the day, moderating expectations, saying the differences over trade are long-term, complicated and arduous. We also talked to a couple of business leaders and factory owners here in China, and they were pretty muted as well, many saying they want to wait and see. Trump could change his mind and that the talks could still go downhill.
David in London, what else? The latest Brexit headline reads like this: May raises stakes before Brexit showdown as EU hatches plot. It's a drama made for Hollywood, isn't it?
Yes, well, quite. No Oscars dished out, though, for any of the performances here. I think Joe talked about can-kicking. That's what we're seeing again, of course, with Brexit. No big vote for another 2 weeks on Mrs. May's deal. She's out in Sharm el-Sheikh talking with the Arab League for an EU summit, and Brexit dominating the conversation there, but they still haven't worked out how to change the withdrawal agreement to get it through Parliament. And Mrs. May says now we've got another 2 weeks. The question is going to be now, can she continue to hold her party and the government together, as everyone's patience really is running thin, and we've seen breakaway MPs from both sides forming a new party. What sort of momentum does that have in the days ahead? That's what we'll be keeping an eye on.
Joe, the Fed chair, Jerome Powell, heads to Capitol Hill. It's the economy and the balance sheet and rates and taxes and maybe other stuff.
Yeah, obviously one of the defining stories of this year has been the Federal Reserve shift and the indication that there's no urgency to raise rates anytime soon, that nobody is saying we need several rate hikes this year. So it'll be interesting to get Powell's latest thinking. Also, as you mentioned, the balance sheet. How quickly will they just freeze the size of the balance sheet where it is right now? It could come within the next couple of quarters, possibly. And given we know how much market participants have been interested in balance sheet talk, that'll be interesting. And then, of course, just the data itself and how they view the latest data. The market has rebounded very nicely in 2019. Data and earnings, not so much. It's been sort of so-so and iffy. So I think that'll be pretty interesting to hear his assessment of the state of things.
All right. Emma, Beijing, back to you. A Trump-Kim summit. It's almost becoming normal.
Yeah, the second summit almost upon us, due to be held in Vietnam this week. Expectations much higher this time around, though, I would say, versus the last one, when there's much, you know, a lot of focus on the historical nature of it and what a startling feat it was even to get these two people in the same room after the rhetoric of the previous year. They will meet in Hanoi. They agreed back in June in Singapore to work toward complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. There hasn't been much progress at all since then. So in this meeting, Trump's going to have dinner with Kim and be joined by aides. People will be looking for them to get more down to business, looking for lengthier negotiations over what that denuclearization may look like.
Okay, David in London, the results are yet to come in, and anything could happen. We're talking about elections in Nigeria.
That's right. Yes, a big election for Nigeria, that's Africa's most populous country. So this has been the biggest exercise in democracy ever for the African continent. That happened on Saturday. It's going to take a couple of days, probably, but the results have started to trickle in. It's between the incumbent president, Buhari, and his main challenger, Atiku Abubakar. And it's too close to call. Analysts are really falling, pretty much evenly split, both sides claiming a strong start. So we'll learn more, probably throughout tonight and into tomorrow, who's going to be leading Nigeria and the biggest economy in the region for the next few years?
Joe, it's the R word. More economists are saying it.
Well, you know, they also keep pushing it forward, so now they see it no later than 2021. But every year we go by without a recession, people just say, okay, well, it's the next year. It's the next year. I guess eventually they'll be right.
That's true of all economists. Eventually they are right in their forecast. Joe Weisenthal here in New York, head of America's News Desk for Bloomberg News. In London, David Merritt. In Beijing, we had editor Emma O'Brien. We appreciate your help this morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak, where S&P futures this morning are up 14 points.
6:25 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Marks Paneth LLP. Marks Paneth tax advisors have helped family businesses reach their financial goals for over 100 years. At Marks Paneth, success is personal. Learn more at markspaneth.com/tax.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are rising around the world after President Trump postponed the date for boosting tariffs on Chinese imports. We get the latest from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
President Trump cited progress on structural issues, including intellectual property rights protection, technology transfer, and currency. Xinhua echoed Trump's tweet, citing substantial progress. But a commentary later said the talks may face new uncertainties. It said frictions are long-term, complicated, and arduous. It didn't seem to matter. Chinese risk assets vaulted higher. Trump said he and President Xi Jinping would meet in Florida if further progress was made. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. The Fed will also be in focus this week as Chairman Jerome Powell testifies on Capitol Hill. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
The Fed chair will testify to the Senate Banking Committee on Tuesday and the House Financial Services Committee on Wednesday. An advance copy of the Fed semiannual report to Congress says the economy faces potential headwinds, including slower global growth. Separately, this week's data calendar includes GDP, housing starts, consumer confidence, and the ISM Factory Index. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thank you. According to a survey by the National Association for Business Economics, more than three-quarters of business economists expect the U.S. to enter a recession by the end of 2021.
In Europe, Theresa May has once again postponed a final vote on her Brexit divorce agreement. The UK Prime Minister set a new deadline of March 12th, just 17 days before Brexit Day, for Parliament to vote on the deal. She's still negotiating.
We have a couple of deals this morning. Swiss drug maker Roche will buy biotech company Spark Therapeutics for $4.8 billion. Spark is up 119% this morning.
Well, Clementia Pharmaceuticals is up 69%. It's being bought by French biopharmaceutical company Ipsen for $1.3 billion.
And Barrick Gold has made a hostile bid for Newmont Mining in a move to create the world's largest gold producer. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up about 14 points. Dow futures up 164. NASDAQ futures up 14. The DAX in Germany is up. Our NASDAQ futures, are up 48 this morning. S&P futures are up about 14. The DAX in Germany is up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32nds, yield 2.67%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.50%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.3% or 16 cents to $57.43 a barrel. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Karen, thanks. 6:33 on Wall Street. Michael Barr has more of what's going on around the world. Michael.
Nathan, President Trump leaves for Hanoi today for his second summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. President Trump and Kim will meet for a two-day summit starting Wednesday. President Trump spoke during remarks at a formal dinner at the National Governors Association winter meeting in Washington.
We have a chance for the total denuclearization of an area of the world that was very dangerous.
Meanwhile, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says that North Korea remains a nuclear threat. Pompeo told CNN's State of the Union, the president wants Kim to prove he's ready to act in good faith.
I don't want to get into the details of what's being proposed, what the
offers and counteroffers may be. But a real step, a demonstrable, verifiable step, is something that I know President Trump is very focused on achieving.
Former Trump personal attorney Michael Cohen appears before Congress this week. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The chair of the House Intelligence Committee, Adam Schiff, says Cohen has a lot to offer.
What other light can he shed now that he's cooperating on issues of obstruction of justice or collusion? What more can he tell us about the Trump Tower New York meeting or any other issues relevant to our investigation?
Schiff says as well as a Russian connection, Cohen should be able to shed light on the Trump organization as a whole. Meanwhile, best reporting has that the Mueller report results will not be released this week, potentially next. And Congressman Schiff says the public will know what is in it. And through a number of means, we'll know to what extent the Russians interfered with the U.S. election and whether there was collusion with the President of the United States. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Schiff has vowed to subpoena Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation report and sue the Trump administration, if necessary, to make it public. Violent clashes involving Venezuelan troops erupted along the border as protesters attempted to deliver humanitarian aid. Soldiers loyal to President Nicolas Maduro, who've been blocking humanitarian aid sent from the U.S., launched tear gas and opened fire on civilians in some clashes. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio visited Iowa over the weekend as he weighs a bid for the White House. De Blasio, at a union hall in Des Moines, says, as a progressive, as someone who believes that we need to change this country, we need to change the Democratic Party. Green Book, a movie about race relations in the South in the early 1960s, was crowned Best Picture at the Oscars last night. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, 10 days ago, the Knicks with a win in Atlanta ended an 18-game losing streak. Last night, they beat the Spurs 130-118, and that ends their 18-game home losing streak. They had not won at the Garden since December 1st. 85 days later, David Fizdale's team treated the fans to a victory.
They just have been so supportive. You know, even at our losses, the amount of support that I've been getting and the team's been getting has been phenomenal. You know, obviously no one wants to lose and go through, you know, a losing season, but, you know, understanding where we are and what we're trying to accomplish, which, you know, I really commend our fans for how they've been, you know, really staying behind us.
Damian Dotson led the Knicks 27 points. He had 8 three-pointers. Dennis Smith with 19 and 13 assists for the young center Mitchell Robinson. 15 points, 14 rebounds, and 5 blocks. Rangers lost in overtime at Washington 6-5. They just traded longtime Ranger Matt Zuccarello to Dallas in his debut with the Stars. Zuccarello scored a goal, had an assist, and then broke his arm. He's going to miss about a month. College hoops, much improved. Rutgers beat Minnesota 68-64. That's the sixth Big Ten win of the year. They had won a total of 9 Big Ten games in their first 4 seasons in the league. Villanova lost at Xavier, third straight loss to defending national champs. Manhattan beaten by Fairfield. Iona down Canisius. Michigan State with a big win to take over first place in the Big Ten, winning at Michigan. Golf in Mexico, Dustin Johnson 21 under par, won by 5 shots over Rory McIlroy. Free agent Bryce Harper appears to be on the verge of a deal with the Phillies. The Yankees beat the Rays 8-5. The Mets lost to the Astros 10-1. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
The EU is trying to have it both ways on sanctions against Iran. It voices concern over Iran's threat to stability in the Middle East, but also condones efforts to skirt U.S. restrictions. Now, Germany, France, and the U.K. have gone so far as to create a special purpose vehicle for trade with Iran. They say it's meant to allow European companies to supply Iran with life-saving medicines and essential foods. But if that were truly the aim, the Europeans could use a channel that Switzerland is setting up for the purpose. The Europeans have pointedly not ruled out using the SPV for other non-humanitarian trading. U.S. officials would be right to insist that the SPV be shut down. European countries should spare the U.S. the trouble of calling their bluff. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. 6:38 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
A leading climate threat doubter is leading the effort to advise President Donald Trump on the issue. The Trump administration is exploring the idea of forming a special committee to look at climate change and security risks, with the effort being coordinated by 79-year-old physicist William Happer, a well-known critic of mainstream climate science findings and a member of Trump's National Security Council. Retired U.S. Navy Rear Admiral David Titley, now a professor of meteorology at Pennsylvania State University, says Happer, and I quote, would be a fringe figure even for climate skeptics. Several climate scientists agreed with Titley, including Georgia Tech's Kim Cobb, who said Happer's false, unscientific notions about climate change represent a danger to the American people. A spokesman for the National Security Council declined comment, but retired Admiral Titley declared, the ICE doesn't care what this administration thinks. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. Last week, Samsung unveiled a new foldable smartphone. Now, Chinese telecom company Huawei is doing the same. Bloomberg's Denise Pellegrini reports.
The Mate 10 unfolds into a small tablet computer and will set you back about $2,600, making it significantly more expensive than the $1,980 Galaxy Fold that Samsung unveiled last week. Speaking on stage at MWC Barcelona today, Huawei Consumer Group CEO Richard Yu says the Mate 10 will also support next-generation 5G networks. Denise Pellegrini, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Denise, thank you. Taking a look at the equity markets, futures pointing to a higher open this morning with S&P futures up 13 points. Dow futures up 157. NASDAQ futures up 46 points. Price of the 10-year down 6/32. The yield at 2.67%. Two-year treasury at 2.50%. Stay with us. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's coming up on 6:41 on Wall Street. President Trump's getting ready to head to Hanoi for what could be a particularly challenging week for the president. We check in with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures this morning are moving higher. We go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are climbing on trade optimism, with the Dow futures currently up 157 points. S&P's gained 13, while the NASDAQ futures rise by 45. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.68%. Oil is trading higher. And Shanghai soared 5.6% overnight as Trump said he will extend the tariff deadline. European markets are also trading higher this morning, led by gains in Italy. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, Chicago Fed. At 10 o'clock, wholesale inventories. And at 10:30, the Dallas Fed. Regarding earnings this morning, Carter's beat estimates. And in deal news, Roche to buy Spark Therapeutics for $114.50 a share. And Barrick Gold made a hostile bid for Newmont Mining. Wrapping things up, Kraft Heinz was downgraded to market perform at Bernstein. CBOE is upgraded to overweight at J.P. Morgan. And State Street downgraded to underperform at KBW. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And Spark Therapeutics, just watching those shares in early trading, up 121%. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump leaves for Hanoi, Vietnam today, the site of a second summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. President Trump tweeted that the two leaders expect a continuation of progress. Then the president added the word denuclearization. Democratic Representative and Chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Adam Schiff, says he's prepared to take the Trump administration to court if Robert Mueller's report is not made public. In the NBA, the Knicks snapped an 18-game home losing streak to beat the Spurs. In the NHL, the Rangers lost in OT against the Capitals 6-5. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C., the city President Trump is going to be leaving in the next few hours on his way to Hanoi, Vietnam, for that second summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo tells Fox News Sunday denuclearization of North Korea is still the ultimate goal.
Our objectives are clear. Our mission is clear. President Trump's also said this is going to take time. There may have to be another summit. We may not get everything done this week.
Former UN Ambassador Bill Richardson's negotiated with North Korea before. He tells ABC's This Week,
I don't believe it would be a successful summit unless you had some kind of commitment on North Korea's part on denuclearization, dismantling, inspections, missiles, nuclear detonations. It seems the president is deflating expectations, and that's a concern.
And while the president's overseas, his former lawyer and fixer Michael Cohen is due to testify before three congressional committees. Democrat Jim Himes sits on the House Intelligence Committee.
Michael Cohen is going to jail for lying to my committee, so obviously step one is to re-ask him the questions that he felt he needed to lie to us about when he testified in the last Congress. So we're going to want to get to the truth, allow him to correct the record. And then, of course, the question is, okay, now that we know the truth, what are the follow-ups?
He was on NBC's Meet the Press. And on Tuesday, House Democrats plan to vote on a resolution blocking President Trump's emergency declaration to pay for a border wall. Republican Senator Roy Blunt tells CBS Face the Nation the president may be on shaky legal ground.
I don't think that the emergency declaration law was written to deal with things that the president asked the Congress to do and then the Congress didn't do. It's never been used that way before. I want to look carefully at the law. I want to hear what the president's lawyers have to say about it.
As for the Russia investigation, special counsel Robert Mueller is no longer expected to give his final report to Attorney General William Barr this week. Still, House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff tells ABC's This Week,
if he were to try to withhold, to try to bury any part of this report, that will be his legacy, and it will be a tarnished legacy. So I think there'll be immense pressure not only on the department but on the attorney general to be forthcoming.
And with all these issues swirling around President Trump, his former chief strategist Steve Bannon tells CBS Face the Nation,
I think that 2019 is going to be the most vitriolic year in American politics since before the Civil War.
That is just some of the conversation from the political talk shows you hear every Sunday on Bloomberg Radio, starting with NBC's Meet the Press at 11 a.m. Wall Street time, followed by Fox News Sunday at noon, ABC's This Week at 1 p.m., and Face the Nation from CBS at 2 o'clock. Let's get more on all this from Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Where to start, Kathleen? I guess we can begin with the Hanoi summit, as the president is going to be leaving Washington in just a few hours. And he continues to set expectations even after those Sunday shows aired with his speech to the National Governors Association last night.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it's significant to see that the president is now saying that he's not necessarily going to lift sanctions on North Korea unless he sees something concrete from Kim Jong-un. I think that shows the pressure that the president is under to get some kind of tangible result from this next meeting. I think that he came out of the last meeting essentially saying that the North Korean nuclear threat had been solved and was, you know, pretty much widely panned for making that assumption, which wasn't really the case. And so I think now there's a lot of pressure on him to achieve some sort of tangible outcome.
Yeah, you sort of wonder whether the president is shifting, at least in rhetoric, if not in policy, by, you know, hinting that there could be some easing of sanctions if there's just progress made, when in the past the Trump administration has said that the sanctions are going to stay until there's full, complete and verifiable denuclearization.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, that does show that the president is open to, you know, making a deal and wanting to walk away with something that he can point to, but might not be holding Kim's feet to the fire to the same degree that he, you know, his officials, that the official word was coming out of the last summit. Now, it's important, though, to keep in mind that coming out of the first summit, while they did talk about the complete verifiable denuclearization, they never really set a time frame for that or really sort of sussed out what specifically that would mean. So I think that that does leave some wiggle room for Trump heading into this next meeting.
Yeah, I kind of wonder whether we might see something like that kind of timeline, because that was something that a lot of observers were thinking was going to come out of the first summit.
Exactly. And I think that that's something that, you know, folks will certainly be looking for again this time around. You know, in some ways, that does not necessarily benefit the president from a political standpoint, because it locks him into a potential failure if Kim doesn't meet that time frame. But I think that it also would be more of a concrete step that would show that, you know, both the U.S. and North Korea are serious about some kind of denuclearization beyond the point of what we've seen so far.
All right. Let's shift over to some of the challenges the president might be leaving behind here in the U.S. as he heads to Vietnam. While the Mueller investigation might be continuing, it doesn't look as though the special counsel is going to drop the final report while the president's overseas. That's not stopping Democrats, particularly in the House, from keeping the pressure on.
No, and I think this is still going to be a big week for the Mueller investigation because we're going to see Michael Cohen, you know, Trump's former lawyer and personal fixer, testifying in open hearings on Capitol Hill. And I think that that's going to be very significant because it's going to be the first time that we're going to hear publicly from Cohen since he was in court and essentially said that it was Trump who directed him to make illegal hush money payments. So I'm certain that's something that Democrats will want to know more about, in addition to knowing more about the any kind of overseas deals that the Trump administration might have, or that Trump might have pursued in Moscow during you know, the beginning parts of his administration and during the 2016 presidential campaign.
And taking a look at the 2020 race, that cut from Steve Cohen on CBS Face the Nation about 2019 being the most vitriolic year for politics since before the Civil War certainly caught a lot of people's ears, I'm sure. Where do things stand now, particularly on the Democratic side, with this ever-widening field?
Well, I think that what we're seeing is, you know, in states like Iowa, which is going to, in about 11 months, hold the first in the nation voting with their caucuses, we're seeing a lot of enthusiasm on the Democratic side. But, you know, there's not really a clear front runner yet. And the field is pretty wide open, which in some ways can benefit Democrats because there's time for them to settle on a candidate now. But I think that the risk that they run is that they get too close to the primary season and then too close to the general election without really coalescing around one candidate. I think that's the fear on the Democratic side, and that will strengthen Trump's hand heading into the general election.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Follow all these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker.
Michelle Smith has carved out a very specialized niche with her small business. Since 2012, she and her 8 employees at Dynasty Financial Partners in Manhattan have been advising high net worth divorced people.
There's a huge need for divorce financial professionals in a divorce process. It is usually the missing link, especially if you were the spouse that didn't control the money or the investments or understand it.
Her goal is to teach clients going through the crisis of divorce to recognize what are the assets being divided, how much they're worth, and how the individual can maintain his or her lifestyle. Her client's net worth starts at around $10 million. They're mostly employed on Wall Street. While they are women and men, Smith says women tend to need more clarity with money. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. I'm John Tucker.
All right, John, thank you. We continue to watch shares of Newmont Mining this morning, up 1.9% right now. And we are also watching shares of Barrick Gold making a hostile bid for Newmont Mining in a move to create the world's largest gold producer in this rapidly consolidating sector. We continue to watch that story, watching Spark Therapeutics as well, up 120% in early trading. Bloomberg Surveillance straight ahead with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.